Blog Talk Radio.
That music is absolutely great, isn't it? Poncho Sanchez, Latin jazz. Takes me back to the Palladium and a few other places, Eric. Eric Payne is here. Kay Thompson is here. Brianna Scott is here. I'm Kay Thompson. This is Kay Thompson Live. Hi, Eric. Hi, Brianna.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. How you doing? Eric Payne here. If we could turn... There we go. All right.
Yeah.
Yep. Brianna, my niece, is in from... where are you from?
Well, I'm from Bermuda, but I just flew in from Leeds because I'm studying in university in Leeds.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds just like her mom. Well, I'm from Bermuda. First, let me get that right.
I have to get that straight first.
Like Gina Payne, like a big dog. Anyway, there's some...
Not only your niece, but my granddaughter. I'll have you know from Bermuda.
Now I got to get her...
Correspondent.
Get her, don't forget.
She's also our correspondent, mm-hmm. one of our correspondents, and we usually get information about Brianna, not about Brianna, but about you. You give mm-hmm. us... You calling from Leeds. I'm looking around this, wonderful thing to be honest. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about education tonight. We're going to be talking about news, information, education, and... global issues. We are expecting to hear from Dean Darrell Moore. So, yeah. So, we hope to be talking to him about, higher education and a number of other things. I want to say something about, out there in Toledo, there is urban dancing going on. Ophelia Thompson, we have people calling in and letting us know what they're doing around the country, so we always like to say hello to them. And also Dawn Harris-Martin from New York City. She has Grandma's Place, and she's a writer, and she is a powerful woman in Harlem, and everybody knows her name in that area. And we are going to be talking next week to Dr. Cynthia Page, who specializes in acupuncture. Now, we haven't heard about acupuncture in a long time, so I'm anxious to hear about that. But anyway, welcome, everybody. We're glad to hear you. Glad to see that you are listening in. We're hoping that you are listening in. We're hoping that maybe you will call us, and let me give out the number for you to call just in case you want to join the conversation. That number is 323-679-0906. 323-679-0906. Hot topic. What happened in Hollywood with a friend of yours, Eric?
I'm just looking up because I'm online reading about this story. A lot of people might have heard recently. Today's date, by the way, is May 21st, 2014. And just a couple of days ago, a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, shot and killed his wife, an actor by the name of Michael Jace, popular actor who had been in a lot of TV shows, a lot of hit shows. And it's just really kind of devastating to hear that someone... that their emotions were running so high and that they felt that was a last resort between someone that they loved and themselves, and that he gave in to dark urges and a serious, obviously, anger and hate and all of that stuff that goes along with the emotions when you're in love with somebody and it doesn't work and those things that happen. And we were talking in the car how there should be a place where people could get their emotions out, like a 911 for emotional situations where people can call before they even get to the point where they're considering something dire, but just these things, because these things build up. They don't happen automatically. It seems like a snap decision when this act of violence happens, when somebody kills somebody, but it actually has been building up for quite some time in their relationship. Something is not right, and they just snap some people. So it's really terrible. In talking to some friends of mine, I first heard about Michael Jace when he sent pictures to my office, Drop Squad Production Company. And a lot of actors hearing about a new production company obviously send their pictures so they are on file with you. And Michael was someone that did that, and I just remembered. I remembered his name and his look. I thought his headshot was a good headshot, so it kind of stuck in my mind. And then I noticed he started getting a little work here and there.
Yeah.
And so when I moved to California, I actually met him. It turned out that he was friends with my good friend Michael Ralph, one of my best friends. And so we got to know each other a little bit better. And he always struck me as a very nice guy. Easy guy to talk to. He did not seem to me to be someone who hasn't had a temper like that. As someone who does recognize that they have a temper, usually you can see it a little bit. But I didn't see that edge of Mike. I don't remember, but I didn't really get that close with him.
Yeah.
And so in discussing that with my other friend, Michael Ralph, who used to hang with him a lot, he said, yeah, I always thought he was kind of off, because he said in talking to him, and this is just Michael Ralph's, my buddy's own personal assessment. This is not an indictment one way or another about into Michael Jace's character to say that he might have done that. It's just that an observation that Mike Ralph noticed, that sometimes in talking, he said Michael Jace would drift off, and he would say, hey, you with me? You know, so he noticed that something was that. Now, that's no indication that one day he would do something like this. But that was just his observation about Mike. But another friend of mine who's been on your show, Don Wallace, said that he felt the same way. He never expected Michael Jace to be that type of guy. I know that he wanted to get married, have a family again. I forgot that he was married previously, but I know that he wanted to get married again. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to have that life. And he met this particular woman when his career was going, was on an upswing. And financial, as marriages do, you go through ups and downs financially, and they were having some financial trouble.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that can create stress as well in a relationship. So that happened, and my friend Don Wallace spoke to another mutual friend. We were all in the same acting class together, a gentleman by the name of Evan. Evan said Michael Jace called him the night before and said, can I come stay at your house? I just got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he said, sure. Text him his address, and he said Michael didn't sound like himself. And the next morning that tragedy happened.
That's
so it's really unfortunate. And they have two young sons here. They said both under kind of 10 years old. And and she had also had a child in a previous relationship. And I think Michael Jace did too. But it's just it's kind of unbelievable.
Well, thanks for bringing that
information,
to everyone, because people who knew him and also knew him as an actor, finding out some inside information, which is great.
Right. Well,
And it's unfortunate, because isn't that a hard life, out there in California, trying to get into the movie business, trying to stay, on things.
It's a grind like everything else. But the unfortunate thing, or the thing that you realize about going into a life as an actor, is that if you take, you can go to school for certain things.
Yeah.
You can say, if I do this, this, and this, this will be the end result at this amount of time.
Mm.
And if I follow these steps, then I will achieve this. That's not necessarily true in the entertainment business as a performer. You can't say, if I do this, this, and this, then I'll end up being a star.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other things that come into the equation there. So it's not guaranteed. What you can work for is to be a working actor and to be able to support yourself off of your craft. That's the way people should measure success when they look at actors and artists, that they can support themselves off of their art.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everybody wants to do.
In that business,
As an artist, and any artist, a painter, a musician, they want to be able to support themselves and get paid for what they do. So, like I said, they were at, I think at that point when they met, he was on the hit TV series called The Shield, Emmy-winning television series. He played Michael Jordan in the biopic movie about Michael Jordan. Michael Jace played Michael Jordan. So he's been very successful. And he even, to try and get his financial stuff in order, and it said from this article I read that his house was underwater, meaning that he owed more money on his house than it was worth. He probably got caught out there in that financial house bubble when he bought the house. And he probably bought it when he was doing well, when his TV series and his movies were running. And I heard from my friends that he quit the business, got a regular straight job so he can make ends meet and try to work things out and do things. So it's a terrible situation.
It's devastating that I had to get to come to that point.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's horrible.
Well, Brianna, now that you're here, from London, you had an interesting trip
Yes, a couple of trips.
I'm looking around the bell here. That's a look in the face. But really, you know, you were in London and you're studying. Congratulations, by the way. You've been accepted into the School of Architecture.
Yes, thank you. It's in Leeds. It's actually 2 hours away from London, but I just came from London yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Germany. Stopped in Germany on the way.
Oh, just happened to stop in Germany.
Just happened to stop there. But, so that's another check off the checklist.
But tell us about London. I understand that you met or saw or was in the presence of a very famous person.
Well, I just so happened upon the Queen of England. because I was... I was sitting in front of the Buckingham Palace waiting for my my train to go to the airport for my flight the next day. And I was just taking pictures, taking selfies. And I went over to these gates were still open, so I went over to the gates, and the police officers had been lined up. There were four police bikes lined up sitting there, and I saw that there's a lot of action going on, so everyone started gravitating towards the open gates.
Yeah.
And as I was standing there, I see that, you know, the police bikes start to orderly drive out, you know, and the police officers moved everyone back, and then all of a sudden the Queen... You know, everyone has their phones out. The Queen drives out with her, you know, her drivers. You know, she's in the back seat. And just like you've seen on television so many times, and it was right in front of my face, and I have it on my, I have a video of it on my...
I've seen it.
On
that's
my,
so clear.
On my phone, yes.
You were right there.
It was right, I could have touched the Queen of England.
How dare you. You're holding in front of that camera right there.
I don't want anyone to take my video. That's a, that's a beautiful video.
You have proprietary rights to that video.
I have some rights, yes.
We know about copyright infringement.
Yeah.
Okay. So, those people who are involved in copyright infringement, we're still thinking about it.
So did the Queen, what did she wave to everybody?
She waved at everyone, and I didn't really know what to do. I literally, you know, the police officer. Well, the police officers stood at what do you call that? Saluting, at attention, right. And I didn't know whether to wave or put my hand there, and I was trying to videotape, so I was just like, my mouth was just open. I didn't know what to do.
Did you get yourself your mouth open?
Yes, so that's her own image of me, but I got her on tape. So that was a beautiful experience. My last day in England, so I ended up seeing the Queen. Yeah. That was a good ending to my trip.
Now, where did you go from there, or was that your last trip before you came here?
Well, from there, the next morning I took a flight to stop over in Germany for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to New York, and then I got to New Jersey. Yeah. So I was in about four places yesterday.
I can't believe how I just fail to believe. I can't believe how you travel with all that big luggage by yourself.
The good thing is that the luggage was put straight through to New York, so I didn't have to take it out in Germany. But, I love traveling, so whatever comes with it,
I think we're just coming up on a break yet. It is time for us to go to break on the Kay Thompson Live Show here on the GoPro Radio Network. I'm Eric Payne. That's Kay Thompson. My mom over there is my niece. It's a family show, Brianna Scott. Be right back. Thank you.
GoPro Radio, the fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Sexy Party Show, with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Networks. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back on the Kay Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric Payne.
And I'm Kay Thompson.
And I'm Brianna Scott.
And it is on the GoPro Radio Network. We're joined by Dean Darryl Moore. That's how my mom said that we should give you your proper title when you come and call you Dean Darryl Moore. Welcome back with us again.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, that's good. You know, Dean, I'm glad to have you back. Dean of the College of Arts and Communication at William Patterson College. You know, we're going to be talking about some creative process, and we're going to be talking about the college. In fact, because this is the time of the year that people are going to college. They've put the things in place, all the papers that you have to fill out. As a matter of fact, Brianna now is in London at Leeds University there. And what happens when...
School of Architecture?
In Leeds School of Architecture,
yeah,
in Leeds.
Yeah, part of the...
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I know that she has some questions for you also. Why is the William Patterson so called? They were lucky to get you, though. You know? Yeah, they were lucky. He's the dean of the College of Arts and Arts and Communication, really. Well, that's a heavy break.
That's nice of you to say. But, you know, as you know, I was formerly, just to get some perspective to how I got to where I am now with William Patterson, or Willie P., as it's
Willie
finally
P.
known.
Yeah.
You know, by the young people.
That's how we call it.
Yeah. But, you know, I was a chair of the Art and Design Program at Montclair State University from 1999 to 2007. And then I went out to California. I was the founding dean of Cal State Stanislaus, the College of the Arts there. And I was very overjoyed and happy to get the appointment at William Patterson last April of 2013. So really essentially coming back home, and it's a wonderful program there. They've got, you know, as you may know, probably know, it's the second oldest university in the state of New Jersey,
yeah.
Founded in 1855. Mm-hmm. And we've got just the general information about the university. We are currently around 11,500 students, enrolled students.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A few of my friends just graduated from there.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. William Patterson, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I'm caught in something else here. But who was William Patterson? Was that an actual person?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It was an actual person. I have his information right here. I can give you right over the sheet.
I guess it's kind of silly to think that they would name a college after a fictional person. That was kind of a silly question.
Well, you know,
it's like naming a college after Biggie, after Kansas City Mac or somebody. Like that.
Right.
Right back there. You can feel that, huh, Darryl? I knew you feel me, brother. I was going to say Biggie Smalls, but that was Gina's reference.
I was looking for that.
Biggie Smalls was actually in his old school. Youngins don't know about the original Biggie Smalls.
Well, who was he?
Hiawatha Smalls.
Because I know about the Christopher Wallace, the late, great Biggie Smalls.
But the original Biggie Smalls.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's the hip-hop reference. But you, brother, much your age, you know that the original Biggie Smalls was, I believe, Calvin Lockhart.
Really?
In Let's Do It Again.
Ah.
He played one of the gangsters. He was Biggie Smalls. And John Amos played Kansas City Mac.
I forgot your name.
I should have remembered that because it was a comedic performance, actually, right?
Yeah, it was. Bill Cosby. That was a series of movies, Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again, and A Piece of the Action.
Wow.
And Calvin Lockhart played Hiawatha Biggie Smalls. So that's where they got the name. That's where Christopher Wallace, because a lot of these rap kids tell you, this is what the Wu-Tang Clan members would say.
Yeah.
They would sit around watching old blaxploitation, old 70s movies, because that's all their parents had. Their parents just watched that. And the movies that were playing in the movie theaters weren't speaking to the kids, you know, until Spike started coming along. There was a drought. Mm-hmm. So they started watching those old movies, and that's how they found Biggie Smalls and all that.
Oh, is that where he got his name from?
That's where he got the name Biggie Smalls.
Thanks for
I'm pretty sure.
Dropping that knowledge on us.
Yes, you know. Biggie Smalls. I got to represent.
Just a little bit of history.
Written by Mr. Richard Wesley, a New Jersey native. That trilogy of films.
You know Richard.
No.
You haven't met Richard Edmund Wesley?
Richard Wesley? Doesn't ring a bell.
He's an author.
Author, poet.
Lives in Montclair.
Well, William Patterson, so we go from Biggie Smalls to William Patterson, who was a statesman, you know, born in, I think, 1745 or something like that. He was a senator, you know, a very important historical figure in the state, and the university is named for him, and as is Patterson, the city. So he's significant historically in that regard. But the university, just to give you, you know, just to finish, I was talking about the enrollment. It is a comprehensive liberal arts university, and everything that goes along with that. So really, we've got some outstanding programs. Now, of course, I'm most familiar with my own college, but we, you know, we certainly have humanities and business and sciences and so forth. But my college, the College of the Arts and Communication, we've got academic divisions in communications, which includes media studies and media production, which includes film, television, and radio. And on the media studies side, journalism, public relations. We also have the other academic division is a music program, which is really one of our most well-known programs in that it houses our amazing jazz studies program, which is historic and internationally known. You know, so.
And I can attest to that because when I went to see or hear, you know, the Latin jazz, I was in 7-7. Chico Mendoza, was it Chico Mendoza?
It was Chico Mendoza, yeah.
See, I didn't think he was still around, but he was there, and I'm telling you, I was...
At the Pack Center.
Yeah. No. At William Patterson College.
In the Shea Auditorium.
In the jazz, Auditorium, yeah.
So we have the Jazz Room series, which has been going on for decades.
Fantastic.
The Jazz Studies program is 40 years old. It's one of the oldest jazz programs in the country.
Wow.
And I'm not just saying this because, you know, it's part of my program, but it is a prolific program. And
but you also have rock, too, don't you?
Well, it's part of the music program, which is very comprehensive. So we've got popular music. We've got classical, of course, and a composition. Folks can study composition. We've got undergraduate programs and graduate programs in the music division. So I mentioned music. I mentioned communication. And then we have the visual arts program. So all told, the enrollment in the College of the Arts and Communication is somewhere around, I want to say, maybe 1,400 students.
Yeah.
I see.
So 11, actually maybe 1,600, because the communication program itself is, we have in excess of 1,000 students.
Wow.
So a lot of growth there. One of the things in my capacity as still relatively new dean there is really to really get the word out and to promote the programs we do have, because even the jazz studies program, which has this amazing history, the people who know, but you know, not enough people really know about it.
Yeah.
So and all the, many of the greats have performed there. You know, the day we were there, Chico Mendoza was on stage.
Mendoza, sorry.
And it's just a, you know, I'm a very challenging position now for me. And I'm just, you know, happy and excited to be back.
And you know, that's why you came back from your trip. You were in China, was it?
2 days ago, yeah. I recently returned from Shanghai,
right.
China, and I was an invited speaker at an international forum on contemporary art and design.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so which was great. That was I was an invited guest of Shanghai Institute of Technology, which
wow.
is a university I've had an affiliation with for maybe 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the privilege of being designated their foreign scholar.
Yes,
so they I go back.
Wow! Congratulations!
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
So that's really been great. And the thing is, we want to, you know, with opportunities like that in China, with those connections I've been able to make over the past decade, because
mm-hmm.
I've been going to China since 2000.
Right.
And there are opportunities for students to go and have exchange at these different institutions, also faculty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm sure you'll find this out too, and I'm sure you're aware of this too. You know, global education, clearly you're studying in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Global education is such an important part of, I think, of the higher education experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had taken advantage of it when I was
Yeah,
student,
how about that?
Because I really did not. But I've made up for that, I guess,
In
my travels currently in higher education.
I wish something like that was in existence, you know, when I was in school.
Yeah.
It was not offered to, really?
No, not during the time that I was at the Futures College.
Oh, my goodness. So you would have had to have gone and applied to the school directly and just gone like a...
With some other program or some other school.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
It just wasn't offered at Kane College?
It wasn't offered at Kane College. But the point is, I was more interested in dance.
Okay.
You know, and spending my time in New York like a gypsy. You know,
performing
with the different dancers.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I was an advocate of Martha Graham technique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, with Alvin, when Alvin came along, Donald McHale, who is, by the way, I think he's still living and teaching. No, Donald McHale.
And who is Donald McHale?
Modern dancer.
I see.
And, you know, so many other people. So I was more involved with the dance aspect of it. As a matter of fact, you know, during that particular time, I was instrumental in them setting up a dance study course because they didn't have it.
Oh, this is Kane College?
At Kane. It wasn't Kane at the time. It was called Newark State, and then it became Kane College.
Newark State Teachers College.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it became Kane, and then it became Kane University.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, the kids have so much access.
Yes.
So much. You know, in fact, at William Patterson, you know, I've been there. As a matter of fact, one of the interviews that I did interview Bishop Tutu. Was at William Patterson College.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was with NJN TV. I had forgotten that.
Mm-hmm. So
I think your mother might have reminded me of that.
So did you that interview took place in our TV studios on campus?
No, it didn't. It was in a special room. The TV station, the TV studio didn't exist at that time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we've got an amazing high-definition TV studio.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
We'll be right there.
But you're going to see that because you're going to come up to campus.
Yes. Yeah.
You're invited as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we just recently completed, that was a renovated
space. Okay, before we go there, let's just go for a break real quick.
Okay.
And we can come back on the other side of this on the GoPro Radio Network. This is the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm Eric Payne with the host, with the most... Kay Thompson.
That's me, yeah.
Brianna Scott and Dean Jarmo will be right back. Thank you.
GoPro Radio, the fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting's WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Sexy Party Show, with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame, and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
Yeah.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back on the GoPro Radio Network. Dean Moore, now you were in the middle of describing the program that you have.
Yeah, I was singing the praises of that new HD studio that we have in place. Over there.
I'm dying to see that.
And we've had people come in from CNN and from, you know, some of the local, the major, outlets here, and they've basically said, oh, this is equivalent to what they have. So it's great. So our students really get the hands-on experience.
Terrific.
With all the equipment that is, you know, timely right now in professional practice. And so we've had some, we've been able to have people placed and some major folks working for the New York Giants. With some of our, we've got outstanding faculty in that program who worked for CNN.
Right.
So we, you know, so it's really, you know, well facilitated now with this new HD studio.
The school itself, William Patterson, I can remember when I graduated college. It's in terms of its level of a prestige, for lack of not prestige, but the level of the school. You know, some schools might be an A school, a B school, or whatever. William Patterson, when I graduated high school, was not one that was considered one of the top schools, so to speak.
Right.
It appears that over the years, it's come up in terms of its place, in terms of its regard as schools that are good education. And let me, you want to address that? Is that factual, that my recollection of
well,
those lines? Maybe it's just that I wanted to get out of state and we played Patterson. You know?
Well, a lot of young people wanted to do that. I know when I got out of high school, the last place I wanted to be was New Jersey.
Right.
Well, I promptly returned after going down to Georgia for about 2 or 3 weeks. But,
you know, you don't think of it in the same light of, like, when you think of Seton Hall and some of these other big schools that happen to be located in New Jersey. William Patterson was not one that I grew up thinking in the same vein of a Seton Hall or a Rutgers.
Right.
They seem to be, maybe because they're bigger schools, maybe because they're...
Well, Seton Hall, I'm not sure what their enrollment is. Of course, Rutgers is huge in terms of enrollment.
Right.
But to your perception, I mean, that was the perception that you had coming out, and that's the perception you had.
Right.
Here's the thing. Of the over 50 higher education institutions, colleges and universities in the state, you know, we award, this year we awarded over 2,500 degrees.
Wow.
So, and on that list, we're in the top six.
I see.
You know, so we've got, you know, so in terms of a very good education, you know, I think it's a great place for students who want a comprehensive liberal arts education with the opportunity to have some real focus if they have a specific desire for a professionally targeted kind of a degree.
Right.
Like, for instance, in the applied areas in the arts and so forth.
Right.
I mean, outstanding programs. And so, you know, when you just think about the number of degrees awarded, the very diverse offerings we have, I mean, we're very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
We're very competitive in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in many ways it's sort of some, you know, you hear people talk about the best kept secrets. Well, we have we really need to change that because we've got, for the size of our school, for the size of the institution, we have an exorbitantly a large number of Fulbright scholars.
Right.
You know, that's a big deal in higher education.
Right.
So, on the faculty level and students who come, we have Fulbrights who come to William Patterson and Wayne to study in our jazz studies program.
And that a Fulbright scholarship is a jazz, is any way we could...
A Fulbright
is
an organization that's been around for years, and it's named for an individual, of course, and it awards people that designation. They can go and study and do research at other institutions in other countries. It's probably the most prestigious kind of award that you can get
from a scholar
in higher education. Absolutely, as a faculty member.
I heard of it. I just never knew exactly what it was. I wanted to ask you a question, which I've forgotten.
Well, so, I want to ask you. You will come back to you when you can remember it. I want to know about Chinese art.
Okay,
you know, is there a special department with people interested in Chinese art, because it's one of the areas that I'm assuming.
At William Patterson?
Yeah, right? William Patterson.
Okay, so we have the visual arts program.
And how long has that been there, by the way?
So you're referring to the Center of Chinese Art. So, and that, the first year was 2009, and it was founded and really under the auspices of Professor Jian Kong and some of the original donor founders, the Lambs, very generous donors to help really launch that center. Mm-hmm. And really what it is, it's about, it's a place to really celebrate and, of course, also exhibit and give and share the multitude of different kinds of visual arts that have come out of China. So many things we know come out of China. Mm. It's one of the oldest civilizations still intact. Really, over in excess of 5,000 years, right? Mm. So the center's mission is to do just that, to celebrate that, to provide a forum and a place for that kind of engagement. We have scholars that come here from China. They do demonstrations and workshops in traditional Chinese visual arts, from ink painting and so on.
Wow.
But so there's the traditional approaches to art making in China. Now I'm talking specifically two-dimensional, but of course we know there's a huge history, a very rich history in ceramic design, you know, out of China, in paper making. Mm-hmm. I believe China may be one of the first places to really get in, to begin and evolve paper making for printmaking and so forth. So, so the center is really that kind of a place. So it's tied to the visual arts curriculum, meaning that so there are studio courses and there are opportunities for our students to have that engagement and to experience, you know, when we invite and we have the people come over, the experts and, and the emerging artists from China, the mainland, they come. And they share that with the students and the faculty. Mm-hmm. And we also send people that way as well. So it's a real exchange,
Now, Darryl, let me ask you something else.
Oh, and the only one, to our knowledge, on any campus in the country. So that's a real first for us.
We're real
proud of that. One of the reasons I'm really excited about coming, because I have this experience in China, and I've made some really great friends and connections in China, so it's a perfect marriage for me.
It's a perfect marriage for the college.
I want to make sure I get that.
No, that's all right. That's perfect for the college. But I wanted to know, when you came to the college, what would be your stamp of it? In other words, what is going to be your primary interest? Are you going to be doing the art aspect of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, with what you've done?
In my whole background, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, is there emphasis on that?
No, well, see, you know, I'm the dean of the whole college, so we've got music, we've got all, you know, all these different areas.
But wait a minute, explain that. You have a university.
That's right.
And in the university, you have
colleges.
Separate colleges.
Right, that's right. We have five separate colleges.
Five separate colleges.
And one of them.
The separate colleges are the different majors you can take, right? Is that?
Well, majors, that's of course, that's an area that you focus on to get your degree, so there's a degree track. So universities have either schools and or colleges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a college of business, college of humanities and social science.
Right, but these
college of the arts and communication.
And whatever your major,
so they're all
wherever it falls under whichever auspices, college of communications, college of law, college of sciences, whatever your major is, that's the college that you're.
The college houses, you know, various majors, and of course, the College of Arts and Communication. Those majors are specific to those areas.
Right, that's
in the
I'm,
arts. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So
the
are,
arts is one, science is another.
That's
college of science, college of law, but it's all a degree under the university.
Yeah.
But
that's
you're graduating when you get your degree. It says college of so and so.
It says William Patterson University.
That's
what it says. That's what it says, and that's what it should say.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it would also probably designate the college or school that you were part of as well. Mm-hmm. But the primary thing on your diploma is the university.
Right.
With the focus.
So I graduated, my undergraduate degree is from Pratt Institute in New York City.
Right.
So Pratt Institute, but then I came out of the school, College of Art and Design at Pratt Institute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and so there's that designation, but primarily.
Well, it designated within smaller schools, too. The school I went to was there aren't separate colleges, but you had your media department, Hampton, graduated mm-hmm. very...
Oh, Hampton Institute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Your media department, your drama department, your business department. Sure. So people, they weren't interested in the college of, you know...
Right.
And I'm wondering if that's a designation when a school gets to the university status.
It has something to do with that.
It has something to do with that,
yeah.
Right.
And the size and scope of the institution. Right. So right. Hampton is Hampton
At
Institute.
At that time, it was Hampton Institute.
That's right.
It has since grown to a university.
That's right. Yeah.
To be designated as university. So, but I was wondering if it would had something to do with that particular mm-hmm. designation as a university from a college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, the whole I was trying to figure that out. Well, is it the whole college or this is, you know, that kind of thing.
Well,
I have to say this, though, the grounds of William Patterson College, absolutely.
Oh, really?
And you know, we yeah. I believe William Patterson received university status, I want to say, in 1996. Right around the same
really?
Time, Montclair. Yeah,
that long ago.
Yeah,
I didn't
realize
that.
Yeah, yeah. So
and Montclair
was right around the same time.
Oh, so they were just Montclair State, and it was
just Montclair
Patterson
State
College.
It used to be Montclair State Teachers College.
Okay.
For a Montclair Normal School, because
really?
That,
yeah.
that denoted
That's
the focus
right,
on
the
teaching.
Normal school.
I see. I see.
Back 1,000 years.
That was a while ago. When I was in high school,
abnormal.
In the '70s, it was Montclair
no.
State.
That's right.
Yeah.
As was, and Seton Hall was the only university. In the area, William Patterson was a college.
Well, it was Rutgers.
Montclair State. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about in our
immediate area, right?
Up here in Essex County,
sure,
general
sure.
area, and there, of course, was Rutgers University. So, those were the only two schools that were designated universities, I think.
Well,
at that
there's
time.
Princeton, of course.
Of course, Princeton. Yeah, yeah. I won't forget the prestigious Princeton. But yeah, so that's interesting to know which mm-hmm. what designates colleges and universities, and
yeah,
obviously that's
yeah.
something good for people getting ready to have their children go to college.
Yeah,
and understand a designation.
Yeah, and we're part of, you know, it's a state university,
mm-hmm.
and so you hear about large university systems like SUNY State University of New
mm-hmm.
York,
mm-hmm.
CSU Cal State, the Cal State system, or the UC system in California. But here, the way the colleges are set up, which I'm really happy about,
mm-hmm.
you know, while it is a state university, years ago, in everything used to have, you'd have to go through like a chancellor's office, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But now the schools have great autonomy, so you don't have to do that here in New Jersey. So,
oh, really?
So a lot of what happens on the campus of William Patterson in terms of policy, most of what happens really, you know, is originated and dealt with locally on
mm-hmm.
the campus.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Montclair State University,
mm-hmm.
UMC, I forget, they just merged the University of
Medicine
Ministry, you know, and so that's a good thing.
Because
mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, when you're in these large systems, it can be a bit restrictive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in what way?
Well, for instance, in the Cal State system, I went out there in 2007 as the founding dean I mentioned to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got out there, I had a very very good model from Montclair State University in the studio areas where we had courses that had to have certain fees attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how else you really can sustain a studio program without having these kinds of things in place to sustain the studios. But in California, in order to implement any kind of change in the fee structure, or any whether you're even if you're talking about reducing it, you have to go to Long Beach to the chancellor's office first.
Okay.
We
have a break that we have to take real quick.
Yeah.
This is going to be our last break, but we'll be right back. Stay with us on the other side on the GoPro Radio Network on the Kate Thompson Live Show. We'll be right back.
This broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have a product or service, a talent or something important to say, now's your chance to have your own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your own radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Yeah. Good to have some of that.
And we're back on the Kate Thompson Live Show on the GoPro Radio Network.
Yeah.
We're just talking to Dean Darrell Moore about William Patterson and all the fantastic programs that they have to offer at William Patterson University now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see the growth of the schools in the state, you know, as time goes on. I can't even say as I get older, because it ain't about me. It's just about time goes on, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about so. I'm glad that they've gotten to that point, because, you know, like I said, I graduated William Patterson. Excuse me, that's what we thought about. But that's what I thought about it. But I was ignorant about.
Can you emphasize that a little bit stronger?
For the
listening audience.
But now it is not that place. Clearly I was wrong about it, because I didn't know anything about school.
That's
so
okay.
And I was just trying to get out of Jersey, man. I was just trying to get away, man.
Think about your mindset. My mindset was, you know,
man, right.
Sometimes I look and say, well, how did I get here from there?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, of course. You know, and that was because you had limited, there was information you didn't have.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there were good things happening then as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where we are now, we've got, you know, a very, very strong leadership. Kathleen Waldron is the president there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy to be working with her and a relatively new provost, Dr. Warren Salmon. So, you know, and I can tell you, having, not being a first-time dean, because this is my second appointment
right.
at that level, you know, that can be such a complex, you know, culture, you
mm-hmm.
know, higher education, working with faculty, developing programs.
Oh, yeah.
Because in that setting, new program development expansion, that's really driven by the faculty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see.
Yeah.
So one of the things that has benefited me and where folks have not been able to put me in a box, oh, he's an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I started out after working in the industry for about almost 12, 15 years
mm-hmm.
as an adjunct, teaching one course a night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I started the lowest place really you could start in higher education in terms of working. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but, you know, as a part-time teaching one course from
mm-hmm.
6 to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It was a typography course, as I recall.
Mm.
You know? And as fate, things worked out for me, you know, those doors opened up. I ended up moving into higher education. I fell in love with it after being in advertising and design and so on. So, you know, what we were talking about, it's so different now
mm-hmm.
with the access and things that young people know about, or can the knowledge they can gain about a place
mm-hmm.
before they go.
Right.
I was really, frankly, I was clueless when I got out of high school. I really had no idea.
Right.
Why, Anthony, do you miss being involved
teaching
in the arts and design?
Doing
what? Yeah.
Well, you know, no. Because, you know, I'll tell you why briefly. I'll try to be short. So, no, because you know what? I was able to, when I got out in 1980, so I graduated from Pratt in 1980, and started working immediately. I got published early on as a children's book illustrator. That's why I'm
okay.
Mm. And so did that and realized, you know, I wanted to be in a broader, you know, kind of environment creatively. So I really gravitated towards advertising and design. But went through, did that. And I don't want to put it like a sort of a been there, did that, to diminish it in any kind of way, because they were great experiences. It was hard. It was very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I did have that experience. I went through that, and it led me to this other place.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things about it. There's sometimes that there are things about it I do miss, like the presentation, like going, pitching an
idea.
You know, I had the good fortune to be in a partnership before I got the post at Montclair with my former roommate, Roger White and Audrey Nunley, and we formed an agency. And one of probably our greatest, glorious moment was when we pitched a group out of Reston, Virginia for to help them launch. It was a birth control product because as an agency in New Jersey, it was considered the pharmaceutical state.
Oh, really?
So our niche in terms of marketing and advertising was we targeted that area. And, you know, I can't recall the name of the product, but it was fantastic. It was wonderful. So that's you get a real rush when you're prepared for that. You do all. And so I do miss that sometimes. But I pay attention. I'm still fascinated with what's happening in advertising and promotion and anything that has having to do with media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from printed media, digital media, time based.
We just got a couple minutes, about 4 minutes to the end. But how has when you say you're fascinated by media, in terms from a design perspective?
Yes.
How has the advent, the invention of computers that graphic generated images on a screen where you can go 3D, you know, how has that changed graphics, technology changed graphic design?
It is just an amazing door that's opened up.
Like magic, huh?
It's, well, you know, yeah. I mean, I was sitting with Professor Michael Reese today, so to this point, we've got 3D printers.
I was just going to mention that.
And you're going to be doing that because of your area. We've got these maker, but that's one of the actually lines. You know, so you can conceptualize a thing, whatever it might be a product, it might be a photo of you, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You can conceptualize that on the computer, and then the printer prints it out.
Mm.
That's so 3D, it's an object that you can pick up.
So going from, I feel so lucky because I started out with T-squared, where you really had to know how to write, make a straight line.
Right.
That's when you had to be able to make
a
straight line.
Right. And digital model.
Well, now, you know, the computer can make a straight line for you. But what it can do is really come up with the idea.
Exactly.
So concept is still essential.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to have the ability to get to it.
I'm sorry, what were you
going to
say?
No, I was just going to say that's your special area.
Oh, definitely. Yes. That's in our
architecture, you know.
That's exactly what we do. Yeah. You're able to actually, you know, before those 3D printers, you're able to design it with the AutoCAD and Auto3D's Max on the computer and walk through your house, but now you can do that and it comes out in front of you.
Yeah.
With this printer, you just type it in and it's right there. Your physical model's done for you.
Right.
So it saves a lot
remarkable.
Of time.
It's exciting.
And it's only going to type what you put in. That's
exactly.
Right.
You
so
have
that's
to do
key.
It perfectly, right?
That's right. There's,
it's very, very precise. If you have one little measurement wrong, it'll mess up the whole design.
So my point is, the idea is the thing.
Right.
You know, and how you execute that.
Mm-hmm.
And this technology gives us these amazing ways to execute these ideas at such a high level. Unbelievable.
You know, I mean, we're on our way out. We've got 2 minutes to end, but it's like that on a lot of things. The idea is the thing. In the movie and film, it's the script's the thing.
That's right. Story.
We have,
it's not the story.
We have the technology, you know, and particularly because of the technology of movies and film now, you can have all these effects and everything blowing up and this and that, but if that story stinks, boy... You
can't
wait.
Down.
You cannot wait to get out of there. So it's really,
true.
In the end, it's the idea is the thing. So we have a minute to end, so I think that's a good way to end on the show.
Sure.
I want to thank Dean Darryl Moore for coming and visiting with us again.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Upon his return from Shanghai.
Come back again.
I just had to say it like that. Got my niece, Brianna Scott. I'm the co-host, Eric Payne, and you are?
I'm Kate Thompson.
The one.
Your mother.
The only.
Your grandmother. Your
Kate Thompson. Live on the GoPro Radio Network. See you next time. Peace.